Okay, everybody, so let's talk about why we use this particular test and what are some other options. I told you we would be covering this, and here we are. So I'm going to go through the GI MAP test and kind of overview all the different things that this test covers. And then we will cover in later lessons the pathological implications of these various microorganisms, as well as treatment solutions for when they come up positive on the test. So you can see here that we have a section on this test that's covering some of these main bacterial pathogens. And when I've mentioned things such as using stool cultures through some of our more mainstream lab companies and how they are not as broad in the microorganisms that they're looking for, here is basically if we were to run a classic stool test through like LabCorp or Quest or one of these major mainstream corporations, we would typically see most of the microorganisms on this particular page covered. So they're important to look for. And it's also important to realize that the test that we are talking about here, the GI MAP, will also look for these, basic type of things that we should always be considering and a whole lot more. One of the things that is very interesting, though, about this particular test, as well as some of the other stool cultures that we will also give you information about so you have a few to choose from, is that this particular test is looking at the Clostridium difficile toxins, and not all standard lab tests, standard stool cultures will do that. Oftentimes, we're just looking for C. diff microorganism. And C. diff microorganism is, as you probably know, going to land somebody almost surely in the hospital. So that's, we're not going to typically see somebody with a C. diff active infection in our functional medicine practice. But what a lot of people don't realize, and we'll go over this in more detail, is that we can clear the bacteria. We can clear Clostridium difficile, and it can leave behind its toxins. And while its toxins don't tend to cause that crazy widespread diarrhea that's going to get somebody to the emergency room, what the toxins will do is cause a lot of other GI inflammation and pathology. So that's why it's really important to be looking for the toxins, because we're not going to probably see the bacteria present in our office, but we will see the remnant toxins. And what is interesting in relationship to Clostridium is, like, while most people will end up in the hospital and they'll know they had C. diff, sometimes people will just have profuse diarrhea, it will pass, and they actually will not wind up in the hospital. And I only say this because we see sometimes people that have a C. diff toxin A and B in their stool, and they don't actually remember having a C. diff infection. So while we classically think of this like not being something that just clears and not being a self-limiting type of microorganism, we also see evidence sometimes of people that don't have diarrhea, have no memory of C. diff, and have toxin A and B, which basically predisposes to the theory that it is possible that perhaps some people do not have a problem clearing it, or they just somehow get exposed to the toxins without having the infection. But regardless, because that's not totally known yet in research, we know that having the toxins can cause symptoms, and this particular test will look for them. So we also see these common parasites. So Cryptosporidium, Entamoeba, and Giardia are fairly common parasites. Viruses, so adenovirus and norovirus are two of the biggest GI viruses that we see. H. pylori. So one of the things you see on this particular screen is all of these different virulence factors. When we get into the treatment of H. pylori, we'll talk more about these virulence factors and what each of them means. But for now, what's super important to understand is virulence factors are basically, they're typically proteins. They're basically things that are secreted by a microorganism that is going to alter our own physiology and allow the microorganism to have a better chance at surviving. So you can look at it as like the microorganism's gun or bow and arrow. It's like their war machinery that's going to allow them to survive in our body better. Now, different virulence factors will do different things to our body. So they will have different impacts. And so what we'll see, and we'll go through this later, is that some of these virulence factors have more of a relationship to the development of things like ulcers or gastric cancers, and other virulence factors do not. So the useful thing about having all these virulence factors typed out like this is that it lets us know what is the potential problem with this H. pylori infection. If somebody comes up and they've had stomach problems for a long time and they have a virulence factor for gastric cancer, we might have a more likelihood of sending that person to have a rule out of cancer than if somebody doesn't have a virulence factor for that particular pathogenesis of H. pylori. This is also a very, very detailed look at the normal flora. So we see all these different normal flora here. Then we move into the opportunistic bacteria, which are basically bacteria that are sometimes normal to find in small amounts in our body. We typically coexist with them if they're in small amounts, where they neither help us nor harm us. But what happens is once they start overgrowing too much, then they cause a lot of problems, like this person's here. We also see that some of the opportunistic bacteria have been associated with autoimmune triggers, and this lab does a very nice job of categorizing this in a very easy to see component of the test results, where we can easily look and say, oh, this person has autoimmune disease. They have some of these elevations in some of these microorganisms that are related. So some of the autoimmune disease may be being triggered by these microorganisms. We see that fungus and yeast are typed out, and a lot of stool cultures are just looking for candida, but of course, there's a lot of other fungal and yeast pathogens, and we look for some of them here, as well as viruses such as CMV and EBV. Now, here I mentioned before that in addition to looking at parasites, this particular test looks for worms. Now, we did see that other section for parasites where we were looking at Giardia and Entamoeba histolytica. So, some of the parasites you see on this screen aren't quite as virulent. Their virulence factors aren't quite as strong as some of those other parasites about the impacts that they have on our body, but they do still cause disease and symptoms, and we do still want to get rid of them. So that's what we're looking for here. Then we go through all of these markers for digestion. So steatocrit is basically looking at the fat in the stool to see how well we're absorbing fat, and that can tell us about bile output if there's a lot of fat in the stool. Elastase is a marker of digestive enzyme output. Beta-glucuronidase we mentioned in relationship to estrogen, so that's going to tell us if there's an infection and we have a huge amount of that enzyme, the likelihood that we have estrogen dominance goes up. We also see that we have an occult blood marker to help us look for things like hemorrhoids, and that we're looking at some of the immune response here with that first line defense of that secretory IgA, which is low in this particular person. And then we're also looking at anti-gliadin immunoglobulin A, and this can tell us a little bit about if somebody's reacting to gluten, but there's literally hundreds of different ways we can react to the different peptides of the gluten molecule. So this particular test is not actually telling us that much about gluten unless it's positive. But if it's negative, we certainly cannot rule out a gluten issue. Then we also see that calprotectin's positive. Calprotectin we typically see as increased in situations such as irritable bowel disease. So it's a very, very complete test. We get a little bit about antibiotic resistance. If we were going to treat H. pylori from a antibiotic standpoint, we can learn about some of those antibiotic-resistant drugs. We typically treat H. pylori from a natural perspective because it works so good, and then we can avoid those antibiotics which cause other problems. So in summary, we use a GI map because it has a very large pathogenic microprofile. It also has digestive secretions, which are really important. It has a very large commensal and opportunistic profile, and it's quantified results. And what I mean by quantified results, if we're looking at any of these microorganisms, if we're looking under normal, so let me go to one that's like abnormal here. So we have our normal section here, and then we have our results here. So sometimes we'll see that if we're going to work on something, so say we're going to work on the Pseudomonas species right here, and say that we actually see this number drop to, say it says 5.3 e to the third, right? So then we know that exponentially it's gone down 3 exponential points, which is a lot. So that basically would mean we're making improvements on working with that microorganism. So that's the benefit in having quantifiable data around the number of the microorganisms. So that's a nice point, nice part of the GI map as well. So there's other good companies out there. Like I said, we use the GI map. We love the GI map. We've had a lot of great results with the GI map. But Parasitology Center is another one that gets a lot of good, has a lot of good reviews in the functional space. And a lot of people in the functional space are using this one. So this is definitely a company to consider. You can use the comprehensive stool analysis or the full GI panel from them. And then Genova has the GIFX 2200, which can also be ordered through AveXia. So if you're trying not to use a ton of different labs, and you want to just order everything through AveXia, like we talked about in the intro module to the course, you could do that with Genova. And then Doctor's Data also has a stool culture that's good, which is their CDSA with parasitology times 3. And that can be ordered through Doctor's Data. They are also partnered with Dunwoody Labs, so you can order through Dunwoody, or you can they can also be ordered through AveXia. So we're just telling you about these different places to order so that you can sometimes, you can cut down sometimes the number of different lab companies that you or your staff have to order from. So we will go through this GI map. We're going to go through the level that this test, so you'll be able to recognize what this test looks like if you decide to go with the GI map. But it is a separate company, and if you decide to go through something like Genova, the findings on the test are very, very similar. So the actual look of the test will look different, but you'll still be able to basically apply the same interpretation, the same diagnostic criteria, and the same treatments to what you find there on those particular tests. Okay, everybody, we'll see you in the next lesson.